This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about ripple effects. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Let's say you end up in the hospital with a debilitating illness and you're not able to make care decisions for yourself.
We would have somebody, usually a close family member, a spouse, an adult sibling, an adult child, to interact with doctors and help make decisions based upon our preferences for medical care.
But sometimes intensive care physician David Oxman encounters a different, more complicated situation, unrepresented patients.
These people don't have anyone to speak for them when they become incapacitated.
It's a small but growing group. Some have outlived their family members or are estranged from them. Maybe they've moved around a lot. Sometimes substance use or homelessness plays a role. It's especially complicated with patients who have dementia or can't communicate their wishes for other reasons. These unrepresented patients are at risk for not getting a treatment they need because if it's not an emergency situation, doctors can't offer treatments that they don't have consent for. But David says there's also a big issue with overtreatment.
Particularly when it relates to patients at the end of life, because there's no one there to tell doctors not to do something. And for many reasons, because of the system we live in, doctors feel compelled to offer maximal treatment unless someone tells them to stop.
Because I guess otherwise somebody could say, why didn't you save Mr. Smith? You could have.
Right, exactly. Even when it becomes obvious that these treatments are no way possible in the best interest of that patient.
David is a physician at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia and also a medical ethicist. He says most states have provisions where medical guardians, or basically decision makers, can be appointed by a court, but that takes a long time. So in the meantime, a search for relatives begins.
The hospital spent a lot of time trying to identify somebody. Oftentimes we get police engaged to try to find some long-lost relative. Sometimes we approach friends or people who may not traditionally be looked at to act as a healthcare agent, but who know the patient in some way, know their values, and may be able to help us make a decision.
Sometimes David gets on the phone himself to find family members, even distant ones. And if he does, he has to jump right into uncomfortable conversations with them.
Your great uncle is critically ill, but, you know, he has advanced cancer and perhaps advanced dementia. I don't suspect him to survive this illness. I recommend that we don't pursue putting him on a ventilator and going through intensive critical care. Do you agree with that? Would you help us make that decision? There's a whole nother question. Are you really equipped to make that decision? How could you possibly know what the best interests are? But as physicians, we're sort of desperate, right? We're trying to find somebody who has some standing to make that decision for them.
And in many cases, these distant relatives are overwhelmed.
Very often, I'll make that phone call and they'll say, well, I just don't know Granduncle Charlie well enough to make that decision. I'm sorry.
And then you say what?
Please. No, then I say, I understand. And I have to try to find somebody else.
The situation has a big ripple effect for patients, but also for hospitals.
Because these cases create enormous financial burdens for hospitals. Patients are often in the hospital much longer than they would be because of delays. ICU care, end-of-life care, is prolonged. And then when a patient does survive, they can't get placed in a facility without having someone just basically sign them in.
But people are working on solutions, like David Sontag. He is director of ethics for Beth Israel Lahey Health in Massachusetts. He says this issue of unrepresented patients is important to a lot of people working in medicine.
hospital staff will experience significant distress when individuals, the patients they're caring for, are not able to get the best available care.
And he came up with a way for them to get involved. He created a matching program where healthcare professionals volunteer to represent patients, not within their own hospital systems because that could cross ethical boundaries, but at other hospitals.
This is an opportunity for us to help some of the most vulnerable members of our communities, those who have nobody to speak for them when they can no longer speak for themselves. And that allows us to respect their autonomy throughout their lives.
All of the volunteers work in healthcare, but they get training on how to ask people what kind of care they want to receive or not receive in serious situations. Here's how the matching program works. Healthcare providers often ask if patients have a health directive, and if it turns out during that conversation that a patient doesn't have anybody listed as their proxy in a worst-case scenario, they are asked if they want to enroll in this program.
And so you've got an unrepresented person, we call them a participant, and a volunteer who will be matched so they can establish a relationship. And so what it usually happens is within 24 to 48 hours, I get a volunteer. We connect the volunteer to that person, right, that participant, so that they can have a conversation and introduce themselves to each other. And at that point, usually, the participant will complete a healthcare proxy form, name the volunteer as their healthcare agent, and then have a conversation about the participant's values, goals, and preferences so that the volunteer knows how to make decisions on their behalf if that time ever comes.
The program has been running for over 2 years now, and David says writing about it and talking about it at conferences has had a positive ripple effect.
And we have more people who are reaching out when they've heard about it to see how they might be able to start their own program.
That's David Sontag, Director of Ethics for Beth Israel Lahey Health in Massachusetts.